have the ability to impose conditions per that conditional use permit that you feel like makes it a fit for that location.
Yeah.
So you have that ability, I mean, now.
Okay.
And it could be different for every site, but if you feel like it needed to be filled to a 20-foot height of whatever kind of compaction of dirt that it needed to be, then you could add that condition to it.
You don't want it compacted. You want to stay loose.
Yeah.
Right.
But you can build it. You can build it, and then you can, like up there, we build a berm and put a covering of a different type of material. Didn't have any rocks there.
Okay.
Which is easy to find in Taney County.
Why was K removed?
Pardon?
I'm asking him why K was removed.
I just went through to initially set those. If you don't feel like you want it removed, we can sure add it back in there. Maybe that was a test to see if maybe you thought that was
it. What's the outcome, though, if it's not there? Then you have alcohol sales.
You could.
Or you bring your own.
You could. But I would not have an issue one putting that back in there. Not at all.
The two don't mix very well.
Nope. That was one that I thought either way, but I thought, well, we'll just see what you guys think. And I was hoping you would grab one or two of them and discuss just like we are. So. So if I bring it to a public hearing, of course we're not going to vote on anything, but is there kind of consensus that we might want to move K over to the proposed final? Which I can read, K. It's no sales or consumption of alcoholic beverages shall be permitted on the property. Signs announcing this restriction shall be posted at least three locations on the property, including the parking lot. And I don't have one bit of issue with that.
I would agree with that.
Okay.
And I was brought to this
question.
Did that say just no sales or anything?
No sales or consumption.
Consumption.
No sales or consumption. Okay. I'll change it later.
Well, I know the one that Dale and Peggy had, the only real problems they ever had was had one family that lived too close to the range, and it was really, I mean, well, when they're shooting shotguns, I live, as the crow flies, about 2.5 miles south of it, and also have property down on Bull Creek that's a little farther than that, and I know when they're shooting them, and there's something going on there.
I deer hunted
far enough away that it really is not a problem.
Yeah, I deer hunted probably 2 miles to the east of that property, and at first I thought, well, I didn't, but pretty soon I can. It's just a constant.
Of course, if you live in Wallace Cave, you're used to shooting.
Yeah. So back to our yellow posted ones. The minimum site shall be 15 acres. Do you feel like that should be changed to any different size? Leave it 15.
I don't think you ought to drop it any.
Okay.
I'm fine with the 15 acres.
Okay. And then I added the verbiage shall be located a minimum of 500 feet from an R, NR, or MH. So that's R1, R2, R3, NR1, NR2, NR3, and then MH, which is your mobile home district. And then the other one is the firing line. So the direction you're shooting, there can't be a single family existing dwelling unit within 3,000 feet from the direction of fire from where the point, which I think that's
it's a good one.
Fine.
Is the hours of operation 8 a.m. to 9 p.m.?
Well,
if you're not requiring lighting,
here's what we're running into, and I'm open to suggestions. We don't have a definition for public or private. The ranges I'm familiar with, like Lake Taneycomo Range, that I used to be a member, it's private. You pay a membership. I mean, you got a key to the gate. How are we going to regulate hours of operation? I mean, you might be able to. Now, a public one, yes, you could limit hours of operation. Again, that's another condition that you could add These are going to come through. You're going to listen to these. These aren't just say, if they meet all these, they can do it. They can't. They have to come through. Do I, if you want to leave it in there because I have it in there or not, that's the part that's struggling about this is because it covers all shooting ranges, whether they're private or public. You know, the hours of operation for a public one, I could for sure see, but a private one, do you think it needs to be less, Randy, to like 7?
Well, if it's dark, where do they shoot then?
Well, it might be skeet.
You're not able to see beyond, so
right.
That's one of the rules, right? You've got to see beyond
mm-hmm.
what you're shooting at. So if there's no lighting, how do they know other than point the gun in front of them?
I think hours of operation have got to be daylight hours because right. You don't know who's walking around out there in the daytime and sure don't in the dark.
Exactly.
Yeah. Of course, coon hunters are slowed down some, but...
So, you know, legal shooting hours are half an hour before sunrise to half an hour after sunset, but you could say sunrise to sunset. And that's going to mean it's going to change, but if somebody just went out there and shot at 9 o'clock in the fall every night, then you'd have retribution to say, hey, you're going to lose your permit if you don't stop the shooting at sunset. So something like that, sunrise to sunset?
That would be better, I would think.
Well, what about if they would want to shoot clays under the lights at night or something?
Well, they'd come to you and you would put that... You mean you have the ability to change these. If the plan is a lighted skeet range, then you could set hours for that skeet range.
Okay.
Of course, I'm not going to shoot rifles that time of night. But.
I really don't see any reason to deviate on shooting hours or what the Department of Conservation has set up for hunting hours. Because there'd be less confusion. They'd be used to those hours.
So just keep it the half an hour.
A little big meats, trap meats, and stuff like that. They shoot at night.
Yeah. Yeah. The conservation department doesn't regulate clays.
Do what?
The Department of Conservation doesn't regulate clays.
No, I understand that, George.
Yeah.
Because they're too tough to eat. I know.
Yeah.
I think sun up sundown is good. And we can always readdress it if somebody wants to have some night shoots, depending on what they're shooting.
Right. Because you could stipulate a trap range or skeet range only with these hours.
Well, there you're going to run into lighting. You're going to have to be close enough where it could be seen. You're going to run into lighting problems so that you don't, on passing traffic and stuff like that, which we already have regulations in place on that. And to light it up well enough to see and still meet the other regulations would be difficult, I would think.
Yeah, you're going to have to keep it from leaving that property and shining onto an adjoining parcel.
Will this apply to private property owners? I know you talked about the difference between public and private shooting ranges, but I'm a private property owner. We have a shooting range. I mean,
no.
Cedar Creek, everybody shoots.
And
not always in the best direction.
Let me just look at something.
We have a little of that.
Yeah.
Especially in fully automatic weapons at about 9 o'clock at night.
I heard one of those the other night, too, actually.
That was just a curiosity question, whether that applies.
I think we need to make it illegal to use ghost guns.
Somebody's working on that.
Sorry about that.
So you might have to look at your definition of shooting range. That's all we have is there's no public, private, so all shooting range are thrown into any rifle, pistol, silhouette, skeet, trap, black powder, or similar range used for discharging firearms in a sporting event or for practice or instruction in use of the firearm or for the testing of a firearm.
That That did not alleviate the private property owner.
Nope, I'm reading that. I didn't see that either. If we need to redefine that.
Like I said, that's just a curiosity mm-hmm. question. We've actually had the sheriff's department out a couple of times in one case.
Mm-hmm. I can work with the sheriff. I've already talked to him once about this, not just an email conversation, and get a feel for him on that definition if we want to. And I can email it to you guys for you to look at. Because I think the definition needs to tie back to the use, which will tie to the conditional use permit.
They still use their range out there where the dog pound is?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Gentleman right there probably uses it.
We haven't spoken anything, I mean, a shooting range, but there's getting to be more and more people that bow hunt anymore, and they may be built in conjunction as that. Should we address that in any way, shape, or form? Because I remember a few years ago we had one come through, and they was arrows all over the place, according to them. Where was it?
Up there, right across the road where I used to live.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I know they're finding lots of arrows there.
So, you've kind of just hit a dilemma that we've run into a few times already. We can't list every single, there's so many uses and combinations that can come up.
Oh, I understand, yeah.
So, I'm heading a direction that I'm supposed to determine what that might be close to. So I would say outdoor entertainment, that's a conditional use in A1, not in R1. So they would come forward. And again, any conditional use permit, it doesn't have to be in the book. You guys can set any condition in a conditional use that you feel makes that use fit in that location. You might set it archery range for these conditions in one location. It may be somewhat different in a different location. But I have to relate that use back to something in the zoning regulation list that we can, Travis and I have done that on a couple of them, that we can relate it to, because we couldn't make a list to hit every possible combination.
Back to the old dilemma, you can't make a law against everything.
No.
Without punishing the public.
Right. So we would address it, and we'd bring it to you as an application, and we'd make sure it's in the appropriate zoning district, and then we'd come up with some staff recommendations that you guys could change, add to.
Job security.
There you go.
So do you have the direction you need, Scott?
Yes, I've been writing notes down. Yep. We got one more. I was about to end it up here. Ready to move on to section 024.020? So we talked about this. We eliminated the R1 zoning district through public hearings, your vote, and then finally the county commission's approval. And we're proposing the same process for 1 and 2 family, which is R2, and multifamily, which is R3. We've had a couple or three that's outside of Branson Creek. I think one just recently that was a duplex, just half a duplex. So you'd be taking R2 and R3 and saying you cannot apply for a conditional use nightly rental permit in those zoning districts. And as you can see down in the chart, I've got them scratched through in red. So that would leave A1, RR1, RB1, and C1 for conditional use availability. And then NR1, NR3, and C2 for provided by right for nightly rental. Now, you could still take a condominium building or two that were in R3 if the whole building wanted to change to night their own, just you'd be rezoning request to NR.